At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them, episode 279. And I'm sorry right off the bat that we missed the last episode. It was my fault. I slept through my alarm. I hadn't slept in... It was rough. It was a really rough week.
It's been a hard time, you know? We just gotta get back on track. But honestly, it's so close. Like, Friday and Monday are so close. It's almost like we didn't miss an episode at all.
Right. Like, you blinked and right. You missed it. And exactly. Also, there was a Patreon episode this week, so hopefully that tided True. Some of you over. I know all of you don't subscribe, but if you want to, patreon.com/Do We Know Them.
Oh my God, this one was about that girl that everybody is like calling a stage five clinger on TikTok because she's like falling in love. And it, you know, Danielle, what is her name? Danielle Walker, something like that. If you've seen her face, here it is. You know what we're talking about. So we did a whole episode on that. And you know, we were still present two times a week, just, you know,
in a different places.
Way. Okay. Yeah. In a different way. We're trying our best.
I just couldn't stay awake anymore.
You know, it happens to the best of us. So here we are, though. And boy, do we have a fucking episode.
Oh, my God. So usually we have to like hunt for topics. I feel like for a while it's been like a little dry sometimes that we're like, shit, what are we going to cover?
The universe said, here, damn, bitch.
Literally, I wrote the community post about missing Friday's episode. And the comments were like, oh, no worries. Get some sleep. By the way, cover Ned when you get back. And I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah. So I knew that this was happening because our researcher was actually like a huge Try Guys fan. Oh. And so she's like on that drama and she's like always keeping up with it. So she texted me the second it came out. She's like, well, this is what I'm doing today.
Yeah, literally. She knows. Well, and also the Ned like fiasco, that whole drama, would you call it drama? That just like disaster.
He would call it a scandal repeatedly in this video we're about to watch.
Yeah, but yes, that's, it is a scandal. But that was one of our first like big episodes.
It was our 15th episode to be exact.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I feel like it was one of the first times we actually got like significant amount of attention. I think that's like one of our first episodes to like hit 100,000.
Yeah, it was because, is that before Deaf Noodles?
No, I think Deaf Noodles was like episode 5. Oh,
well, so I feel like it was like Deaf Noodles, Ned cheating scandal, and then also Don't Worry Darling, randomly. Those were like our three big topics. I think that's how a lot of people found us.
Yeah, for sure. And you could tell that it was like right when we started doing the purple screen. Oh, like it's like a little blotchy. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. I've learned.
It's definitely like early days or mismatched chairs. It was very nostalgic looking back. But yeah, we covered this whole thing. If you don't know Ned Fulmer, he was one of the main people in the Try Guys who came from BuzzFeed. He was the wife guy. He always talked to, there's like whole compilations. I feel like we put it every time we talk about him.
My wife!
My wife. My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
My wife.
All he talked about was his wife. And so imagine everyone's surprise when he cheated on his wife very publicly by making out with his producer, Alex, in New York, openly.
That was the craziest part, is not that he just cheated. And not that he just cheated with his coworker or like his employee, but it was that he did it in public. Like he was out at a bar doing
shameless.
It. And it's like, I feel like some people, it's like, oh, I have young fans. Maybe they won't see me at a bar. No, his fans were like, absolutely the age that would be seeing him.
100%.
People recognize him. They used to get millions and millions of views. What do you mean you're doing it in public? What do you mean you're doing it, period? Yeah. But also in public was just crazy.
It was a specific brand of like not giving a fuck.
Self-sabotage.
On top of his fake persona that just blew everyone's mind. And so we followed it closely. A lot of people followed it closely. It was a really big fucking deal. So if you weren't there, that's pretty much all you missed, is that somebody took photos and video of him making out with his producer and their entire world crumbled. Like he got fired like the next day.
Well, did he get fired or did he resign? Did they specify?
Oh, God. He definitely got fucking fired.
He
There's
got
no
pushed
way.
Out at the very least. But correct me if I'm wrong. Did they, had they just had a baby?
Okay. So shouts out to our researcher who's a Try Guy fan. She knows all of this. She says that when he cheated on her, like when he got caught cheating, by the way, because there's definitely cheating that he did before he was caught. Obviously.
They got photographed like out at brunch together.
Exactly. But at the time that he got caught, she was a year and a half postpartum.
Great.
With their last child.
Great. So,
had been cheating for a while.
Like she's at home with your newborn baby and you're out at
like
brunch.
Probably still breastfeeding.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Got it.
And you want to know another added layer to this that our researcher pointed out and it blew my mind. The Try Guys office is Ariel and Ned's old house, like the house that they brought their first child into. So they converted it into the Try Guys office.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I feel like it was like very office-y looking. It was probably a little before he got caught that they switched because they went into like a really nice office and they like literally had it on like...
I don't think they're still there. Yeah, but like they used to work out of a house when all of this was happening. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That house that they were working out of, that was Ned and Ariel's original home that they bought together in LA, brought their child home into. And then like the presumption is like you met probably or hung out with the producer in that fucking house. It's just like there's added layers of sickness here for sure. But yeah, this what we're about to watch, which by the way, I did take the liberty of editing it.
Okay.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. It was brutal to watch. They didn't edit it at all, which I think they intended to be like more raw.
Well, P.S.
And, you know, just feel more.
What she's referring to is that apparently Ned and Ariel have a podcast.
No, nay, nay.
Nope.
Ned has a podcast.
Oh, the
yes,
comments
ma'am.
Were putting it together. I didn't realize that it was just his. So she's just the first guest.
It's called Rock Bottom with Ned Fulmer. And the description reads as follows. Everybody makes mistakes. Okay, Hannah Montana. Relax. Some of us, really big ones.
Yeah.
But what comes next? Rock Bottom is a show that explores people's lowest, most embarrassing, and challenging moments, featuring raw, unfiltered conversations with comedians, creators, authors, and celebrities. We talk about how they not only survived it all, but transformed their lives.
Who's coming on this podcast?
Well, next up, he has somebody, I want to say she's a comedian. He describes it at the end of the show. He says somebody that's like an ex-heroin addict, and she was like an author or something like that. And he's basically, and I get it, he's trying to
capitalize on the only thing he
pivot
has.
Somehow. I don't even know if he's trying to capitalize. I think he's genuinely like, if I'm being real, I think he's trying to figure out what the fuck can I do on the internet? Like, I can't go back to silly, goofy videos. Nobody's going to allow that.
Yeah, he like can't not acknowledge what happened.
Well, that's what this is. So what we're going to watch is essentially him and Ariel trying to figure out how they're both going to move on without only being identified for what happened, which was Ned's infidelity being so public.
Fuck. Like, I don't know how she's okay and signed on for all of this.
Oh, get ready. Get your cheeks clenched.
Oh my God, I have goosebumps. As you can see, I have not watched any of this.
Yeah, so I edited it down because although I do think that they didn't edit it for like the sake of like trying to make it feel raw and stuff, it was a lot. Like, it was like a lot of lulls and them just staring at each other and like a really like just it was a lot and I'm like we don't need to see that and also like chop chop we need to like you know get to the point
yeah like I have stuff to do
but holy shit before we begin Ned's vocal fry I can't even say his vocal fry Ned is vocal fry he speaks in a burp like I'm so confused it's actually insane has he always talked like this I don't know
I was gonna say is it different from his previous
I don't really remember now how he spoke but I'm like god damn like he's literally the vocal fry is so bad
this is it
okay so this is the intro it's him sitting in his kitchen he's like prefacing it and then at the end he does like his own outro so he like stops it where we're gonna stop it but then he just comes back and is like thank you to Ariel for like being it's so weird
okay so he films like an intro and outro and then it moves for their like where he has the guest
yes and also Ned if you're watching I must say I had to put such a high denoise effect on their actual podcast because the room humming was so bad that I cannot believe that they put that up.
He's editing it himself.
100%. 100%. Okay. Yeah. So just saying, Ned, you might want to apply maybe some filters
tools for
to
that.
The audio because that was unbearable.
Crumple effects is
moving
great.
On. Here we go. This is how he intros everything.
I'm so nervous.
Hi, I'm Ned Fulmer. 3 years ago, I cheated on my wife with my producer. It became a massive public scandal that caused a lot of pain to a lot of people. I know that I represented myself as a kind of wife guy.
Kind of?
Who talked about his relationship and put that out there for public consumption. And you, as a viewer, I know that I broke your trust. I betrayed my spouse, coworkers, friends, family, and I betrayed you. And I know it's not just about cheating, that I was a company owner having a relationship with a producer, who was engaged and friends with all of our friends and coworkers. It was understandably a messy and devastating situation for everyone involved. And I was the cause of it. I did that. And I can't change it.
I did that.
Getting quieter and quieter as we go on.
Oh my God, I'm telling you, when he starts talking to Ariel, you can like just, all you can hear from the distance is like a, it's like the grudge. Yeah.
Can't change the past. I can own it and accept it and try to change how I show up differently in the future. So I wanted to say that I'm sorry. I hurt you and I hope to make amends over time.
By the way, in between every edit is him staring off for like literally 10 seconds. It was just like weird because I'm like, I think he's trying to make this like this raw and real moment, but I'm just sitting there like, what's the next word? Like it was like a lot.
And also when you think about like, it's been, we've had this podcast for 3 years now.
Correct. This happened in 2022.
Yeah, so long time ago. Needless to say, they've talked about it probably ad nauseum in their own relationship.
For sure.
So it feels a bit like he's obviously putting some of this emotion on for the audience to like,
I will say,
vulnerable and upset.
I agree with you, but I think that at any point when you blew your life up this much, for both of them, like talking about this is just always going to be like the worst.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to give him grace necessarily. I'm just saying like he may be faking it to like gain sympathy for the camera. But when I see Ariel talking about it, like she does still hurt a lot for it.
Yeah. Here's the thing is like, I don't think that he should never be able to work again and never be able to provide for his family. And like, he should just be shunned and ostracized from society. I don't think that that's necessary. But I also think it's kind of crazy. Like, I feel like being on camera, that maybe like that ship has sailed. I don't know.
Maybe start directing, like, you mean?
Yeah, like find some
for
kind
him,
of other thing.
Her.
Like, you, no, she could do whatever.
Yeah.
He, though, I'm just kind of like, you did burn that bridge with your view. Like, it seems crazy that he's starting a podcast and that it's about Rockbot. Like,
that makes sense to me, though. Again, I think this was the only pivot he
could
do.
It does. I guess it is a smart thing. But like, at the same time, I'm just kind of like,
yeah.
I wonder how it's going to do.
Yeah, same.
One step is to publicly witness the pain of my partner, Ariel. This is a conversation with Ariel in this video. It's painful at times. It's honest, vulnerable, brutal. But it's necessary for her to move forward. And I'm grateful for the chance to witness it. As disappointed as we were that something so private and painful became such a public spectacle, I get why people were so outraged. And
was it private though?
Oh, that's the thing. Yeah, you kind of made sure it wasn't.
That's the thing. It's like, I feel like a lot of the people he'll probably have on, and this is obviously me speculating, I don't know, can't tell the future all the time. A lot of people I assume he's going to have on will have messed up like in one aspect of their life maybe, or like it was like they got canceled for like one decision. This kind of was like multiple continued decisions that fucked up not just your job, but your personal life, but like everything in it. It was very just like, again, like self-sabotage, let me blow up my life.
Yeah, actually. And I do have to say, this entire episode we're going to watch is very much like, it feels like a Black Mirror episode. Like the fact that we're able to see this and witness this conversation happen, it really is a brutal conversation. Like it's a lot. So I am kind of amazed that we're watching this.
I can't imagine what it would be like to be either party talking about it.
I know.
In general, much less publicly.
Before we continue, we really quickly want to thank our sponsor, and that's Newly.
I don't know if you guys have this problem, but I know me and Jesse have it big time, that we will, if we're going on trips, buy like a whole new wardrobe for said trip because we just want some new clothes and we are sick of all of our others, but we have too many others. So then we buy them and then our closets are full and we just have too many clothes and the problem happens again the next trip. So we have a solution. It's called Newly, and you get to pick 6 styles a month and you rent them and then you can keep them for the month. There's also no late fees though. So if like you kept a little extra, that's okay. Then you turn them back in and get to start over. So it's like you get new clothes constantly.
Yeah, and there's access to thousands of styles from hundreds of brands. So there is everything from like dresses if you're going to something formal, graphic tees if you're like us and buy graphic tees exclusively for your show, but then you don't want to wear them back to back. They kind of just like live in a hole in your closet, and then you reach back out for them when you have nothing else to wear.
And also maternity, which, I mean, I can't speak to personally, but I heard that it only happens for a select period of time. So unless you're planning on getting pregnant again, but even in that case, there's going to be new stuff out and you're going to want new clothes. So this is perfect.
One of my favorite things about Nuuly is their flexibility. There is no late fees, like Lily mentioned, but there's also no damage fees. So if something spills on your clothes by accident, or let's say you lose a button or something, Nuuly isn't going to charge you for that. And they're also not going to throw away the clothes. They're really big on reducing waste. So once you send it back, they're going to try everything they can to fix the clothes so that somebody else can enjoy them. So if you guys want to try out Nuuly for yourself, it's already a really great deal on its own at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you can get $28 off your first month at Nuuly when you sign up with our code DWKT.
Just go to Nuuly.com. That's N-U-U with two U's, L-Y.com, and use the code DWKT and you get $28 off your first month.
Again, that's N-U-U-L-Y.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use the code DWKT. And thank you so much to Nuuly for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
That is the reason that she can't move forward with any sort of public thing without addressing this. So this is that. This is a conversation where we answer your questions. We share what we've been up to these last 3 years and what you can expect from us moving forward.
One other thing is they've been completely off the internet, like not doing anything for 3 years now.
Yeah, so they're literally going to catch us up from like everything. Like they tell us what these 3 years have been like, why they're doing this. I mean, like, we're going to know pretty much every question that we have. So I'll give it to them on that. The conversation was had.
I think the last time we saw them was there was like paparazzi photo while all of it was going on. And it was they like talk them walking back to their car or something.
Yep. So let's start off with why they're doing this, because I do feel like for a lot of people, it does seem a little Black Mirror-y and like, what the fuck is this?
We've kind of been just keeping our lives very private for the last 3 years.
We have. And
just almost hiding from the world.
We've been hiding from the world. I'm not going to lie. It's been kind of great. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of great to be super private.
And it's ironic because we don't stop becoming recognizable figures. People still come up to us. People still recognize us. And to the extent that we're kind of moving forward in our lives, that's something that you've talked about. It's like, how can I move forward in my life without people knowing the next part of my story if they're still stuck on the 2022 part of my story?
That's kind of the thing, isn't it? And that's the whole reason that we're here, because we're stuck in 2022.
Yeah, at least as far as they know.
We have moved on with our lives.
Yeah, we've moved on for a while
now. We have moved on with our lives. But like, as far as everybody else is concerned, we're still stuck in 2022. In 2022, it got so big. The whole scandal, it grew and grew and grew and grew to the point where it just became this thing that just like got so much bigger than us.
Yeah.
I feel like I just sort of hid away from it.
The amount of times that it cuts back to Ned's face just being like, like it's like it's so crazy.
Also, like it did get so big, like SNL covered it.
I know. Yeah, it was
very
bigger.
Poorly, might I add. But
I know, I didn't like that.
It was supposedly also because he had like a friend that worked at SNL. People think that it was like they were doing him a favor or something. But yeah, this is already interesting.
For the last 3 years, I've just hidden behind the scandal. Now I can't get out from behind it.
Yeah, because it's a big step to sit down and do what we're doing and to talk about it.
Right. But even like going out in public with like my kids or just going out to dinner or something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like the only thing that people see is the scandal.
Which I do agree with. I feel like whenever I think of Ned,
like, which isn't often,
that's true. Yeah, as well. But like, maybe it's just because I'm not a fan that I don't necessarily like see anything other than that cheating scandal when I think of all of them.
Yeah.
Like it was a stain. And Ariel does get really candid about how like, even though she didn't do anything wrong, that was a stain on her as well. And she had to bear that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know how she's handled all of this.
Well, so they're going to actually talk now about the status of their relationship. What do you think it is?
I'm assuming that they're still together if they're doing this podcast. Are they not?
It is.
And the challenging thing is it's been complicated for a while. I mean, we're still friends. We have children together. Oh. We go on trips together. There's a spectrum of being together, not together. There's ways in which we're together. But it's like the way that everyone wants to know, like, are you guys still like an item? Are you guys still a couple? Like, no. We really haven't been at all this last 3 years.
No, we haven't.
So they have not been together since it happened.
I feel like they kind of phrased that weird, though.
What do you mean?
Like him saying, like, we really haven't been. Almost feels like they are still together, but they're just like not emotional. Like, you know? Like,
no, they're not. He says it now that like they tried, but there was just no way, essentially.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I mean, fuck no. Yeah. It would be an absolute no for me. Because again, he didn't just cheat on her. It wasn't like it was a one night thing. It was like he had a relationship with the producer.
Right. Yeah.
And like they were all friends with all of them. And like, it's just wild. So actually, good for her.
100%. Oh, and she's not letting him off easy, quote unquote, either.
Oh, good, good. Because I feel like she would have gotten a lot of shit if they were together and like happy right now, which is sad because like it's up to her. But still,
people ask me, do you forgive Ned for what he did? And I mean, the answer is no, absolutely not.
Good.
How can you forgive somebody for lying to you, for cheating on you? No. Fuck no.
Maybe I'm going to like this more than I thought.
Yeah, literally, it's so funny because she just said like, fuck no. And then it just cuts out and Ned's just looking at her like.
I genuinely, this is much different than I thought it was going to be. I'm excited.
Fuck no. Sorry, I saw red for a minute. It's like, no, the answer is no. But also, I feel like forgiveness isn't the goal at this point. We've been together for a long time, and you are the father of my 2 beautiful children. We know each other really well. We've worked through a lot of stuff. The fact that I can be around you and still have a good time and like enjoy spending time with you and enjoy spending time with my kids, I think that's a win.
It's taken a lot of hard work to do that.
Yeah.
We've recalibrated our relationship more towards a platonic friendship, and it's just been challenging. But like, I think we're getting to a point of sort of celebrating that and really like embracing it and accepting it for what it is as we are like grieving the past. And it's hard to hear you saying like, fuck no, I don't forgive you. Like, of course.
The way she just laughed.
Well, I mean, like, even the way he's talking about this is very like, we've worked through it. It's like, sir, you should be grateful for any scrap she's throwing you right
now. I know.
Are you joking?
I mean, as much progress as we've had, you're still very angry.
Yeah, of course I'm angry. We lost a lot. There was a lot that happened 3 years ago.
Okay, so now she starts talking about like how she found out about the affair.
I have goosebumps.
Diabolical is not the word.
I found out about your affair from the fans. I mean, and I was so blindsided. Somebody sent me a picture. It was like my brain couldn't compute. It's like for some reason, I didn't see what was actually there in the picture. I thought it was your sister. And I remember sending it to you and being like, what's your sister doing in New York?
So literally, somebody sent her the iconic photo that we've all seen by now. And she thought that that wasn't even Ned and that that's like Ned's sister making out with like some dude, I think.
What? No, I mean, it sounded like she thought it was Ned with his sister.
Yeah, but not making out. That's what I thought. But
I don't
was like,
remember
is
what
it a different
picture?
Picture?
Looks like. Maybe can you not totally tell there? Like maybe. It,
oh,
it
you
like
know what?
Just, like...
She doesn't say that it is the makeout photo. Maybe it was a photo of like them from behind, like next to each other. And maybe
or even
that
just
looks,
like
a sister.
Them like up close, like their heads near each other where it doesn't necessarily look like making out, but it's like
right
they
it
were
sounds
making
like
out,
maybe it was a different photo than the one we saw, so maybe it wasn't the iconic photo that we all, you know.
Also though, he's like blonde. Does he have a sister with dark
no
hair?
Idea because Alex did have pretty dark hair, so yeah, it's super weird. But that just like literally broke my heart when I heard that, and I'm like, damn, her brain trying to just be like, that's his sister that he's with, why is she in New York? Because she just wouldn't fathom That he's with a woman?
Imagine his stomach just like falling through his ass when she sends that and asks if it's his sister.
And you know what's even crazier is that she texted that to him, but then later on ended up going to New York during that trip. Like she was supposed to go and meet him there.
I remember that being a part of it.
Yeah. That she gets into that now.
He was like there early. Yeah.
So it's like he knew that she was probably going to find out when he was like going to pick her up from the airport.
He like invites his sister really fast.
I'm so dead. No, it's really diabolical.
I think back on that and I think like, how did I not see what was going on? What was so fucked up in my brain that I couldn't actually see what was happening in this picture? Like the picture was right there in front of me, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the pieces just started falling and falling and falling. And like, and then more pictures started coming in and more pictures and more pictures and more pictures. It is so wild how we like, we live in this world where everything is so public. You don't realize it, but everybody's taking pictures of you everywhere you go.
Don't you nod, Ned. Don't you nod? Because obviously you didn't fucking know that because that's why you got caught.
But it's like he did. That's the whole, like, even yeah, when you referred to it earlier as like, or one of them said like this private thing got made public. No, no. It wasn't just that you're a public figure. So already everything's public because you've made yourself the wife guy. It's that the cheating wasn't even in private.
Right.
Like you were literally doing it for everyone to see. And then you're surprised, like, are you surprised when people find out?
Right.
That I kept saying when we originally covered it, like, this is a level of self-sabotage that I cannot fathom.
Right.
Like, he knew what he was doing and he knew that he was risking it. I don't know if that made it, like, more exciting or something.
Right.
But it's crazy.
And it's kind of scary, actually. I sort of went into this, like, state where, like, nothing was safe. I couldn't trust anybody. I couldn't trust the public. I couldn't trust you. I couldn't trust my friends. I just stayed inside, like, because there were cameras everywhere. You know, it was like, it was so unsafe. Everything was unsafe.
Yeah, because they shared friends too.
To think about like the levels and the layers of damage, like being cheated on in a regular everyday life is so mind fucking already. To be cheated on in this way with such like cruelty, honestly, because like you said, he did know that it was going to come out.
Complete lack of regard for everything in his life.
And like the way that it really did blow up their life, like to be a year and a half postpartum, paparazzi waiting outside your door, thousands of DMs, SNL making fun of it. Like, what the fuck?
Well, and because he was the reason that she started being on camera too. And then she had a podcast with the other.
Didn't she have like a cookbook too or something like that?
Probably. I just remember that her like main thing was doing a podcast. And I think now they're all technically wives, like all the people that were in the podcast. But at the time it was just like significant others of the Try Guys. And it was like, I don't remember what it was called, but it was like the Try Wives, basically.
I think it was, yeah.
And it's just like, you were the reason she is doing this now. Like, this is her career because you had her do it. I mean, I'm not saying she didn't want to, but like, that is how she got to being on camera. So now her on camera job and everything that she has come to have be her life is also taken away because you couldn't even keep your dick in your pants. Like, you couldn't even just do it in private. Like, you had to be doing it in public. So then
it sounds
fans
so horrible to say
out.
That because cheating in private or public, they're both wrong.
But this had much more of an effect.
The level of humiliation on such a public level, like, it really, really did add so much more pain to her life that was unnecessary. Like, if he would have cheated in private and she would have found out, it would have been absolutely devastating, but she would have gotten to grieve and mourn in her own way, not having millions of people talk about it.
Well, and that's, they could have even made the decision to not make it public. To
right.
Like her not reveal why they broke up and just they said they got separated or something.
100%.
But it's that now everything is tied to that in his career, her career. They shared friends. They shared colleagues. They shared everything.
Yep.
And now you have to separate it, but then also not even because you guys just got thrown out from all of it.
Yeah. Ned, I'm not really sure what his role is in this podcast because like he's trying to like talk about like how he experienced things, but how he starts this particular segment is like he asks her the question of like, how having this be a public scandal changed everything. So I feel like he's trying to be an interviewer, but also it's weird. It's strange.
Before we go any further, we have a word from our sponsor, IndiCloud.
IndiCloud is federally legal THC that's in the form of gummies, pre-rolls, and flower that honestly, I love. My favorite are the pre-rolls, and it is the Pineapple Express strain. The other night, I actually had it. I do it every once in a while. In general, I don't like to smoke all that much, but that's where the gummies come in handy too. And let me just tell you, I had a very good night. I was watching TV and I was eating a lot.
And I have cut back significantly on my smoking because it used to be like an everyday, all day kind of thing. So I don't do that anymore. But it's nice to have a little relaxing night once in a while. And I feel like this is a perfect solution. And as Jesse said, they have gummies, they have pre-rolls, they have little candy rocks that like pop in your mouth. And some have caffeine, some have melatonin. So you basically have it for any time of the day, any kind of occasion.
And it's great for someone like me who lives in Georgia and I can't just walk to a dispensary and grab a pre-roll, you know? True. So this is delivered right to my door and I've really been enjoying it. I recommend it to all my friends.
So if you're 21 and older, and only if you're 21 and older, and you're looking for deeper sleep, better focus, or maybe just to relax a little, this is your perfect opportunity to try it because IndiCloud is giving all new customers 25% off their first order and free shipping.
All you have to do is use the code DWKT or click the link in our description to claim your discount. That is IndiCloud.co, IndiCloud.co, using the code DWKT for free shipping plus 25% off your first order.
Again, that's IndiCloud.co. Use the code DWKT and you get 25% off and free shipping.
And when you're done purchasing, you could fill out their quick survey that lets them know that the girlies sent you. Helps us out a lot. And thank you so much to IndiCloud for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast.
It's like he's probably setting the stage because like in the future, obviously he'll be asking the questions and it's not going to be like him sharing the story every single time.
Right.
But at the same time, it kind of is like almost a bit of a cop out because it's like she's explaining everything and he just gets to be like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. And listen mm-hmm. to this question. Yeah. It's insane.
How did having it become such a public scandal change everything for you? Did it make it worse? Did it make it easier? Did it just sort of make it
easier?
Did it make it worse? What? Did it make it easier? Did it make it surreal? Bitch, don't piss me off. Don't piss me off. Made it harder, sir. Thanks.
I don't know if there's probably really a real way to measure how awful it was.
Yeah.
It was so many different things. And it was all tied in together, too. The trauma of discovering that you've been, that like everything that you know isn't real. And then add to it this other part where you're being watched by cameras, which isn't something that's like a part of our lives. Like, yes, we are somewhat public figures, but like we've never had cameras waiting outside of our house. That's not something that we're used to. This was a period in our lives where we had like a car following us. It was really strange because we had just, you know, found out that we were dealing with this cheating situation, with this betrayal, we decided to find a new couples therapist, right?
Right.
And so we were driving to our new couples therapist. So we were in the car together because we decided to drive together and you decided you needed a snack. And so you had like a Tupperware with you and I had my jug of water and we got in the car together because we were like, well, why don't we drive together? We're going to the same place. So you're like eating your apple as you're driving. And I turned to you and I was like, Ned, I think there's a car following us. I'm pretty sure this car has followed us from our house. And you're like, oh, that's weird. And then when we park outside of the couples therapist's office and we see that this car has a camera, I was like, I think that person just took a picture of us. And so we went inside and we talked about it a little bit and then we had our therapy session and then we came out and then there were multiple people outside and it was probably one of the strangest situations that I personally have ever been in. I did not know what to do with my face. My reaction when I don't know what to do with my face is I smile.
Yeah.
That is.
So I have the clip.
I feel so bad for her.
I know, me too.
Ned Fulmer and Ariel Fulmer say they are working on working things out.
They're both just smiling, like she mentioned.
Hi, guys. Hey, are you guys working things out?
Yeah.
You are?
Working things out. Well,
that's good to hear. Hi, Ariel. Hi, Ned.
That one got me in my chest.
Ceased to exist. Yeah, I would have like killed him afterwards.
Yeah. That was really bad. But that's what she's describing. They were both smiling.
You could hear the frustration in her voice that she's like, we're working on working things out.
Yeah, I feel like, oh God, paparazzi are so annoying. But yeah, the shame that she had to endure
questions
because
too.
Of his dumbass, like I understand why it broke their marriage because how do you recover from that?
I feel like that would have been like, you already are just devastated by finding out that 100%. You're like long, because they were together a really long time. Like, weren't they together like over 10 years?
I think so, yeah.
It was like their like big relationship of their life that like, I feel like started when they were like not even fully grown adults, really. That would have been obviously devastating. But then to have all of this come after, I feel like this would have turned the devastation into just like visceral anger.
100%.
I just smile like an idiot.
That was my reaction too. And so it's like, this is the video that everyone saw.
This is the video that everyone saw. And
like leaving couples therapy.
We're leaving couples therapy, looking at each other like we don't have a care in the world.
I can see how that caused you to really feel unsafe and mistrusting of the whole world. Want to acknowledge that. And
I think you did that first.
Note that it's like because of things I did that caused you to experience that.
Yeah.
It's rough, dude. Like, yeah, it's really rough.
He's really trying to get like other things. Yeah, none of it would have happened though. It's all because of you, Ned. Like,
but he does say that, but then it's just like funny how she's just like, yeah, bitch.
Like it's very obvious. It's like stupid paparazzi questions where it's like, why are you asking me that? Like, like, come on.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This part is how Ariel actually confronted Ned, like the moment that she found out.
What was that moment like when everything changed for you?
Awful, obviously. I remember we were in New York and you were just picking me up from the airport, and I just naively looked over to you in the driver's seat and I was like, why was Grace in New York? Like, I didn't realize Grace was in New York. Why was she, you know, referring to that picture that I had sent to you? And you looked over at me with this look on your face, and it was like the veil just fell. You know, like I knew in my brain that something was going on, but I just sort of refused to believe it. And then when I saw that, like, just wildly guilty look on your face, like you wanted to tell me something, and I didn't even let you say anything. And I was like, turn this car around. You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember it happening like that, but it doesn't matter.
what the fuck was that?
Like, literally, this is such a hard watch. Whenever it goes to his face, like, what was that actually?
Yeah, because, like, he can't defend any of it. So it's like, what do you even...
But it doesn't matter.
What do you mean it didn't happen? Like, yeah, because she probably, like, started screaming at you or something. Like, what are you gonna... Yeah.
How do you remember it happening?
I mean, you asked me a couple of different follow-up questions as I just sort of answered them. Once I, you know, answered it in such a way that you knew exactly who it was and what had happened, yeah, then you were like, take me back to the airport.
Oh my God.
I will say, my feeling watching all of this is, at the very least, I think this is really good for her.
I think so as well. I really do think so.
I think this will give her an opportunity to do whatever she wants afterwards and be like,
people know her stance. They can refer back to this if they have any questions, and she could be done with it.
I don't know.
That's a different story. But for her, I do agree that like this was a good thing for her. And although he's trying to pivot this into a like podcast career, you know, it obviously there's something in it for him.
It feels like maybe it was even more of a decision for her.
Yeah, it does kind of feel that way, because like he's getting fucked up right now. Like he's getting obliterated and it only gets worse.
Oh no.
So it's like, I'm glad that he left it all in. It's a little Black Mirror-y. It's a little weird. And I'm not saying that he deserves a trophy for it, but I do think that he did do this for her. A little bit for himself, obviously, so he could have his podcast.
I think like he hopes that it helps both of them, but at the end of the day, and maybe it could have been selfishly, like he just is trying to do a podcast career, but I don't know, it would make me feel better if he did it knowing that like it might not do, like it might not go anywhere for him, and that it was just to help her.
Yeah, I would hope so. That's kind of the least he could do after everything.
Exactly.
Now he talks about why he did it, because Ariel straight up asked him like, how the fuck could you do this? But
I think there was a lot of delusions and rationalizations that you, as the person doing that,
rationalizations
sort of telling yourself as to why it's not so bad, or why it's gonna be okay, or why actually it was talked about in this way. And then it's like, I remember that moment, it all just kind of like
literally just converts straight into a burp. Like, literally, what the fuck?
Oh my God. But also, like, what do you mean rationalizations? Why it wasn't that bad? Like, what do you mean?
Well, I do think that somebody who's cheating and still with their wife, of course, there has to be some mental gymnastics. That's like the reason you are continuing to do it and not like feeling like the world's biggest piece of shit. Like, it wasn't until he told her that he really felt like a piece of shit, which is bad.
That's
because
insane.
It's like, how can you go home to your kids and like your wife and not feel that? But like, he was doing some mental shit to convince himself that it was not that
bad.
Yeah, for sure.
It just feels crazy. Like, you shouldn't be able to compartmentalize that much that you would ever think that this is something like,
oh, 100%.
It's not like he could have ever rationally in his head gone, I don't think Ariel would mind if she found out. Like,
No. I don't think so.
I think she would.
Down where I could see how devastated and just completely traumatized you were. And then everything changed for me as well. I'm like, oh no. I've been hurting this person that I love this whole time.
You didn't realize until
Thank
then.
You.
Well, you know, but then there's other things you tell yourself to kind of compartmentalize, or I guess like a addictive cycle, kind of feeling really guilty and ashamed, and then telling yourself the ways in which it's, you know, kind of just lying to yourself.
I need you to specify.
And I did want to tell you, there was probably a small part of me that was sort of relieved to not be.
So he's throwing out this, like, you tell yourself things. What are the things? What are the ways you're rationalizing it?
He doesn't ever say them.
Great, cool.
No, that's literally his explanation of it. He says that he was in an addictive cycle of feeling guilty and then rationalizing it, but he doesn't particularly say what the rationale was.
Yeah, like, I feel like the most you could do is that some people, when they cheat, they're like, well, I felt like our relationship was already over and I felt like you were checked out or something. And I just,
he
like...
He says something similar to that that can give us insight in a second. Essentially, the way he describes it is that the dream that he had kind of died. And so he was losing, I think, he was losing love for her. And rather than grappling with that, I mean, I guess they were already in couples counseling before this happened. So maybe there was some quote-unquote trying there, but that's not really effective if you're out fucking your producer during that.
Well, exactly. And it rationalizes it maybe from his end why he wanted to cheat, but it doesn't rationalize what he's doing to her.
Oh, 100%. And this part fucking broke my heart, because this is where Ariel talks about how it affected her.
Oh, no.
And it's so bad.
I had to take all of that guilt and shame of your affair, and it was so much to carry. The wild thing is that this was something that you had done. I had no part in this. You could even say that you had done this to me. I was the victim of this situation. And yet, when you told me, I had to like accept your guilt and your shame. And in our like society where couples are, especially married couples, when men have affairs, women are often looked at as like, well, what did you do wrong? It is so hard to get out from under that. Did it ever occur to you that, like, not only did you having an affair, it shattered our marriage, all of that guilt and shame, you, like, hoisted that on me. Like, you gave that to me. And now I have to carry that around for the rest of my life.
I don't think it's fair that as a society, you're put in that position. It's certainly not true. And no, it's not something that I imagined as I was doing that. I think none of it was. If you really like let it sink in just how much you're hurting your partner and how devastating it is, like, how could you do that?
My God. I would, yeah. I don't know how she's even doing this podcast right now. I
Without
would
just clawing his eyes
him.
Out.
Yeah. Like, his answer that, like, society, like, oh my God.
Society,
that,
you motherfucker.
Yeah, are you.
You
joking? It's like, yeah, well, you can't change society. So, like, maybe, oh my God.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It's so bad.
And
it's actually bad.
Reassure her that it was nothing she did. Like,
right.
That it isn't her fault. Because That's why she's saying she, like, now she feels like, what did I, the whole, my whole life, I'm going to be like, well, I hope I don't do that again in another relationship so they cheat on me again. And he doesn't get that. He's just like, oh, society. It's
well, and also she talks about it, and I did take that part out because they went on for a long time about, like, why they were addressing this and why they felt it was important to do it. And she was talking about how essentially she felt like she couldn't even meet a fellow parent in her kid's preschool and become friends with them without disclosing that, hey, if you look me up, like, this is everything you're going to find. And it's just a weight that she does not deserve to carry. And I do think that this is going to help. I do think that people are going to let, you know, that kind of go when it comes to her. I think that people maybe were confused if they were together or not. A lot of people probably thought they were together.
I absolutely thought they were.
So they clarify exactly like where they're at. And I think that's going to help. But like, yeah, his response of like, yeah, society shouldn't be doing that. You did that.
That's fucking
crazy. You did
it
to her. You caused that. Before we continue, we really quickly want to thank our last sponsor, and that is Cozy Earth.
So I've said before, I was never a big sheets girly. That never really was something that occurred to me. But then I tried the Cozy Earth bamboo sheets. And oh my God, that could be part of why I missed filming last episode, because I was just too comfy. I couldn't wake up.
Oh no, that is the culprit.
Disclaimer, Cozy Earth does not make you miss work.
No, honestly, I feel spoiled now. They're super soft. They're temperature regulating. So whether you run hot or cold, not a problem.
I really have no bad things to say about it. I love them so much. I don't use my other sheets anymore. I just wash these and then wait until they're done being washed to put them back on.
And it's so cute because you actually get them in the cutest little tote. So like if you get so spoiled with Cozy Earth sheets that you feel like you want to travel with them, no problem. Comes with a cute little tote, oh so you God. Can do it.
That would be a good idea. And it doesn't matter if you are using them constantly because they have a 10-year warranty. So if anything goes wrong, within a decade, they've got you covered. And also, if you're not sure if you are going to like them, which is ridiculous because I mean, trust me, you're going to. They have a 100-night sleep trial so you can try them out. And if you don't love them for some odd reason, you can return them hassle-free.
So if you guys want to try out Cozy Earth for yourself, you can head over to CozyEarth.com and use our code DWKT for up to 40% off, which is an amazing deal.
It is. That's, again, CozyEarth.com and use the code DWKT for 40% off. And also they have more than sheets. They have like pajamas, they have blankets, they have a ton of stuff. So go check it out. And if you get a post-purchase survey, just make sure to let them know that the girlie sent you because it helps us out a lot.
And thank you so much to Cozy Earth for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast. And him saying like, I didn't understand what that would do because basically if I did, then how could anyone do that? Like nobody would do that if they understood what it was gonna do to the person that they love or
love. But it's
love,
like, how do you
unquote.
Not understand that? It's not even that you didn't understand, it's that you didn't think about it.
Exactly. And she basically asks him that question, like, how could you do that?
Before I discovered the affair, it feels like going back to this weird fantasy world where, I don't know, I thought we had this love that like transcended.
Oh no.
I don't know. But it was a fantasy. You know, I trusted you so completely. I mean, we grew up together. We got married when we were like in our early 20s.
Yeah.
We were babies. We had nothing. We moved out to LA with just our car full of stuff. I'm like tearing up just thinking about it. We were just kids. It really was a fantasy. I just think, how could you do that to me? Like, who are you?
Ugh. I'm so sorry.
God damn
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ.
Like, this is rough. Oh my God. Dude, this is so rough.
She's taking it easy on him, too. Like, this is wild. This is his podcast. For all intents and purposes, everyone is supposed to believe this was his idea and these are the answers he's giving.
I know, it's so bad. But also, what we need to understand too is like, she is having this conversation for the 15,000th time.
But so is right he, now. And I can't believe
it. And to us, it is the first time. So I cannot even imagine the shit she's told him, the fights they've had, the things that they've had to work through to reach, because we have to remember, they're reaching a healthy co-parenting situation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking, I go on vacations now and my dad is there with my mom and my stepdad and we all stay in the same house.
Yeah.
Like when you have kids with someone, it's like, we're together for life. Let's make it the best that we could possibly make it. Even if we both have separate partners, whatever. So like, she's trying her best, but like at the same time to still know that like that part of her heart, it's like always gonna be broken in that way.
Yeah. But also then on the flip side, like he's had this conversation how many times? These are the best answers he can come up with for
right.
this? And like,
right.
I mean like even his posture right now, like you could tell he is just like,
no,
I don't
it's
know
hilarious.
What to do.
That literally he is so uncomfortable. She's just eating him up like in a very classy, amazing way. And I just admire her strength. Seriously, I'm like not even joking. She is amazing. And he's just sitting there like a little turd on a lump. Like, literally,
he is.
Just
again, no cheating, I think, is gonna be an easy situation, and no cheating is okay. But like, she's describing it as like she was blindsided in that she thought their relationship was okay.
Yeah. When she said that, when I saw her say, like, I thought our love like was greater than this type of thing, that just mm-hmm. completely wrecks me, because there's really not a lot of people that I trust more than my husband. Like,
yeah,
to think that they would do the ultimate betrayal. We have two children. We have that love. Like, what went so fucking wrong that you decided to do this? Like, it's just, it really is so trippy.
And that it went so wrong, but you didn't have the balls to like address that it was wrong and yeah. like get out of the relationship yeah. first. You felt like this was
the
like,
only
was
way.
Was it a temporary solution? Like, you were just doing this for a little while and then you were gonna not anymore? Or you just didn't think about the future at all?
One thing that they didn't address, and I would have not... with Ariel, like, obviously maybe this is like an offensive question for her to like be around when he answers, but like, whatever happened between him and Alex, the producer?
I wondered that too. Like, did they just stop talking?
I don't know, because I'm like, you guys both, because she was with someone too, wasn't she? She had like a man, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So it's like, both of you risked it all and then you lost it all. And the only thing presumably you would have then is each other. I mean, it would have never gone well. Everyone would have literally eaten you alive. But like, still, at the end of the day, like, what did you really do this for? You didn't even end up together. Like, all that love that you like were leaving your wife for. It's just so stupid.
Well, and that's what's crazy when you think about it. Like, what was the heart of their relationship, him and Alex? What, like, did they really have this like burning passion for each other? Or was it like they both had issues with their relationships personally that they hadn't dealt with, and then they like,
I think so,
maybe confided in each other and then something happened? It is crazy to think about, like, was it all worth it?
No, it definitely fucking wasn't.
Guys, now you probably don't even talk.
Yeah, and it's the definition of the grass is always greener on the other side. And 99% of the time when someone cheats on someone and you think that you have this burning passion, it's just like you're chasing something that you can't have. And yeah. that's what makes it exciting and hot and passionate. And then if you guys actually did have each other in the real world, you probably wouldn't have an ounce of the connection you had with Ariel before. And that's yeah. something he's going to have to live with.
That's a lot of the times I feel like with cheating is they take for granted the things that have become just like comfortable and like right. you've been together so long that you just expect them. And it's like that you don't have that with everyone.
Right.
We had so much life left. We still have so much life left. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm crying.
I think it's the loss of that dream I do. That we both had. It felt like that in that time period for me too.
What happened?
Well, the dream started to break apart for me. And then rather than being able to talk about it or to confront those feelings, I guess I was too afraid to say how I was actually feeling. And I chose to deal with it and deal with like feelings that I was experiencing in a way that was really self-destructive and hurtful to you. And it wasn't like anything you did or like we had a bad marriage. It was about me and choices that I made and just actions that I took that I'll always regret. I'll always regret how much pain I caused you and other people. I'm deeply, deeply sorry. And I'll spend my whole rest of my life trying to make amends to you, to lead a life of integrity and to be a father that our
cut your dick off
can learn from. Because you did nothing to deserve this. And I completely, suddenly, violently shattered our marriage, our relationship, and like everything you knew. And yeah, it was all my fault.
Jesus.
Like, he could say, and I know I said, like, why is me saying this earlier, that it's like, you didn't do anything wrong. He could say that every day for the rest of his
life.
And she will still feel like she did something wrong.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, there was something that you didn't feel like you were getting, regardless of whether that, I mean, it's right. not her fault, obviously, it's his fault. But like, it always is going to feel like he's not being honest, because if there was nothing wrong, then he wouldn't have done it.
100%. I mean, there's some people that have addictions to sex or like certain compulsions that like, that's yeah. why they cheat. This doesn't seem like that. Like, it does
no,
seem
it seems like
he
it was emotional just
marriage.
As much as it was, because they were, they were co-worker, employee, employer. That is more than just like a physical thing.
100%.
Because they were clearly close.
That didn't start off one day that like behind a shoot they just started making out. Like, it was an emotional exactly. connection first, and it was something that he felt he wasn't getting in his marriage. And that's not Ariel's fault. Mm-hmm. That is something that not only did she not know about because he didn't communicate it to her, so how would she even try to yeah. show up for him in that way? But it always just kills me when someone just doesn't leave. I understand that a relationship, a marriage, you have two kids, you've been together for 10 years, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be like the most slay thing you've ever done, walk in the park. But like, you have to do it.
But
you can't have such a little respect for the person you created a life with that you're going to have to deal with forever. By the way, again, you have kids.
Well, and that's why I wonder if in his head, was he rationalizing this being like, this is just something I'm doing temporarily. And that like me and Ariel will get better and then I won't want to do it anymore.
Maybe.
Otherwise, again, like, why wouldn't you like, how would this be a better solution than you leaving?
I think that a lot of people, first of all, lack the courage to like have those really hard conversations or do really hard things like leave.
I think he does lack that. Yes.
Yeah, he does. But then also a lot of people just want their cake and to eat it too. Like, that's literally what this could be. It could be like, well, Ariel in this department, I don't really like how she does this, but Alex does this. So like now I can have them both. And that's not life. Like, no human being is perfect. Not a single soul could you be married to and like have 100% of a person. Like, there, everybody's got some things missing. Okay. We've all got some annoying things, etc. Either you learn to love a person for who they are, or you're incapable of doing that for anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. Mm-hmm. Could be fucking the hottest, most intelligent, smart, rich person in the world. And there's going to be something they're missing and you're still going to leave. So like, I think that it has to do with like holes in himself that maybe he's you know, going off of
there. Well, like you said, grass is always greener. It's always going to seem like, oh, well, if Alex can fill these holes that I am not getting from Ariel because I'm also not acknowledging any of it to Ariel. It's just crazy though, because again, like, where was the end? Like, what was his envisionment of the future?
And to be in couples therapy and everything, how are you going to be sitting on that couch? What are you even saying?
And like, just lying.
Godly.
Yeah.
But anyway, they leave off on what now? Like, what is this going to look like moving forward? What's it going to be like between them, and what basically the public can expect from them?
I'm gonna be okay. I can live in a world where this has happened and people know, and also we've moved on, you know?
Right.
I can go on dates and not have people be whispering.
Oh my God, I hope she finds the hottest husband and like gets remarried and is just so happy.
Yeah, I mean, hotter than Ned's not gonna be hard to find. Just saying.
Just like a man and not just a boy.
Yeah.
And not have this thing following me around where maybe we are at a restaurant with our kids and I don't have to feel shame because I'm, you know, having fun.
Right.
You know, where people are like, oh my God, are they back together?
Right.
Just because I'm like having a joyful time with my kids and my ex-husband. Is that a crime?
Yeah.
To feel joy?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to Greece together next week.
Right.
Well, so they still have some money.
Life is weird sometimes.
yes, we travel together.
we've like redefined our relationship, not as partners, romantic partners.
Yeah.
But sort of like, you know, family or platonic partners and pals, if you want to say. Pals.
I just want each of us to grow in the way that makes each of us happy, you know? Mm-hmm. I want you to be who you are, and I want me to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And I want for you to feel like you can be who you are, and I want you to feel like you can do that without judgment. Mm. And I want the same for myself.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think that by moving forward more as individuals, we'll each be able to be the best version of ourselves and kind of discover maybe parts of ourselves that are less to the forefront when you're like really in a relationship. But you know, that's for us as individuals, but for us, you know, as co-parents, I hope that we raise boys of honesty and integrity, and I hope that we're a team who tells each other what's on our mind, even if it's not always, you know, hard to say or easy to hear. That's what I hope for us, is to
sounds like you
have a parenting partnership.
Should have been doing that originally, but
I know. I know.
In respect and in honesty.
Me too.
Oh my God.
And that's how it ends. So.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That was the last.
I don't know how you would say any of the things that come out of Ned's mouth and not immediately realize how dumb they sound, because
so
it's
dumb.
Like, yeah, would have helped if you did that the first time around.
I know.
What are those extra things? Like, it's just like he did the bare minimum.
It's hard because as much as publicly what he did and just every, like, he really did blow up their fucking lives, obviously. But at the same time, I do have respect for the fact is mainly for Ariel, that like, that is the father of her children. I encourage, you know, I think that it's great that they're going on vacations and they're able 100%. To exist in that way. And I really do hope that this gets people off their back in that way, because like, she does not deserve that. Like, some people could, it could be argued that Ned deserves that, but she does not deserve that. And that is the father of her children. So if he gets it to an insane extent too, it also falls on her, kind of like how she said, you gave this to me. And like, it's just kind of like an ugly cycle. So I do hope that this like stops, you know, everybody from like just obsessing over this.
I personally wasn't like sitting here not wanting her to be able to move forward before, obviously.
Right.
But I just, from my perspective, I think this definitely did her a lot more favors than did him. And I don't know if he held back to let that be more of like, because people were going to kind of pick sides anyway, and obviously they were going to pick her side, but like, they didn't want to hear how he was sad and like broken from all of this, which, yeah, obviously it was like, this ruined his life. But I don't know, I just like, feels like he didn't really give much at all, which could have been because he was giving her the stage. But
I think that's what this was. I don't know. I genuinely do believe that this conversation that we just witnessed is like pretty evident of like the other conversations they've had in private. Like, for all intents and purposes, like, I do think that they're being honest with this conversation. Like, this is not like bullshit. Maybe the reasoning for him is bullshit or whatever the fuck, but like, I feel like this was a really honest conversation. Like, I think this is what it looked like in their house, probably a lot angrier. But like, I don't think he has tried, it doesn't look like it, like, to defend to any insane extent, like what he did.
But I don't even think what I'm wanting him to do, I mean, because there is no defense, obviously.
That's none.
Like, what he did was insane. But it's like, I want to know, has he actually explored why he did this?
That part is a little bit much for me. I'm like the type of person that like, if you do me wrong, I need like 1,000 questions. Like, I need to understand every little bit of your mind.
Yeah.
And like, why you did X, Y, and Z. And he doesn't give me enough. Me,
at
but like
all.
I'm not Ariel, so I hope he's given her enough behind the scenes, you know what I mean?
Exactly. In the other conversations, I hope that he gave, like, he did dig a little deeper and explore what was going on with him and wasn't just like, yeah, it just, my dream wasn't the same.
I'm sure he had, like, there's no way, because she seems like such a bad bitch. Like, I don't think that she'd be down with a half-ass answer like that. I think publicly what they're giving us is a more reserved version of it, and it has to be because people pick apart everything. But ultimately, I am happy for Ariel. I think, you know, the top comments and everything people are commenting is just like, we're here for her. Okay. Don't get it twisted.
That's what I said. I hope she finds just like the hottest, best. Oh my God. Just, and we get to see her get married again and like have this. I mean, if she wants to get married, who knows? But like, just have a life where it's like, okay, now she's with someone that actually values her and not someone that like was selfishly grappling with the loss of what their own dream life was going to be and threw away everything that he had.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people were not super pleased with Ned in this podcast, just in general. I think like his beginning speech, I don't think did him any favors. Like, that was not particularly impactful to me. And then also just like his answer of like, society shouldn't put you through that, or whatever the fuck he said, that did not sit well with people.
That was my biggest, that killed me.
Yeah. No. Other than that, it was really just him using the verbiage of like scandal a lot. So like, I took a lot of those parts out because it was a long, long podcast. But I have a comment here that says, framing this podcast as quote unquote surviving rock bottom as if you have survived something is gross. Everything that happened were direct consequences to your actions. You did this. You made those terrible choices. You put yourself in rock bottom and dragged everyone around you down with you. So you survived the consequences of your own actions. Good for you. Take your cookie and go, please. Like, I understand that sentiment. I do. I do.
Even past Ariel, like you mentioned, like, this is what people think of now with the Try Guys. Like, the Try Guys got featured as like a skit on SNL because of his cheating scandal.
It's a huge stain.
Exactly. And like, I know that they've like restructured and they hired a bunch of people. I don't really know. I haven't checked in recently how they're doing, but like, they've tried to reinvent themselves and like turn Try Guys into something. They have like a whole like network and like subscription service, and they're really trying to like make something that is different from what they did with Ned, because it was so like jarring to have him leave. So like, this wasn't even just affecting Ariel. This affected everyone in his life. 100%. It overlapped between friends and coworkers, colleagues, and then also everything in her life that you brought her into that she wouldn't have even pursued probably if you didn't do it. So it's like, you didn't just cheat on your wife. You didn't just cheat on your wife with one of your employees. Like, It's every aspect of their lives he fucked up.
Literally every aspect.
And like everyone in his life.
And I mean, it's only been 3 years or like not even fully 3 years. And I am happy for the amount of healing that Ariel was able to do. I think that genuinely he is going to have to live with the weight of this for the rest of his life. It's kind of just his cross to bear. Like, you know, you made a very, very conscious decision to implode your entire life
and
like mission accomplished. I guess my question is, how far do people take it? Like, I'm not gonna consume his content because I wasn't a fan anyway, and like I'm not interested in this new podcast.
But it's like we talk about a lot about how talking about someone and bringing it up like to stop behavior, but it's like the behavior has stopped. It already happened. Like, what did people really want from him redemption?
Yeah, like how far do we push it? You know what I mean? How far do we need to make him pay for something that he doesn't owe us the, you know, like the payment or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, he definitely owes Ariel everything. And it seems like they're working it out to a point that they're happy. And if she's happy, then I'm happy. That's fine.
I think what I brought up earlier, though, is that, again, I don't think he deserves to not be able to get a job or provide for his family or have a life. But I do think it's interesting choice to like still try and pursue an on-camera career.
Yeah, because you are opening yourself up to the opinions of people.
Exactly. It's not like he was always just talent. He was a producer as well. I'm sure that's probably how he started at BuzzFeed.
True.
And it's not like he's just an actor and now he can't act anymore. So like, it seems like he could find other jobs that are not in the spotlight. So this is really his choice to then invite in more scrutiny.
Yeah.
Especially doing it with this whole angle of rock bottom, which, like you said, probably the only option that he could have done, really.
But doesn't mean it's a great one.
At the same time, it's like, are you the best person? Like, yeah, you can, I guess, relate to having your whole life blow up, but are you the best person to really have these conversations with people that have also experienced that?
That's so true, because literally at the end of the podcast, like I said, he talks about like, next up, we're going to be talking about somebody who survived a heroin addiction. And I'm like, you were just a cheater who lost everything in your career.
Exactly.
And like somebody who like battled with addiction, like I think
it's very different.
Two different ends of the spectrum. To be honest, I don't know where he goes from here, but I will say I feel good for Ariel. I think she's going to have an open door after this in every regard. You know, go on dates, queen, or hang out with Ned's goofy ass, you know, when you're with your kids, you know, do whatever you want to do.
The biggest thing I think was definitely that it wasn't clear that they were not together, which they aren't required to put out a statement or something, but.
No, and it also like, it does kind of give me the ick a little bit where it's like people wouldn't have been as compassionate to her if she had forgiven him. And it's just not our life. Like, you know what I mean? That's not our journey. We're not in that house. We don't know what's going on. Like, if she had forgiven him, we would have no choice but to just be like, well, that's obviously her decision and her life. Like, we can't shame women for making decisions.
No, for sure not. But
I know how it
would have
gone.
Just had everyone, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And even still people fighting for her to be like, girl, get out. But like, then she's just dealing with another wave of people. I don't know. I'm glad that this is the
way it went. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm very glad.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm glad that they're not together. I think that's the right decision. And I think that co-parenting in the most amicable way you can is the best thing that they could do for their kids and for themselves. So I'm happy.
Yeah, agreed.
Very awkward watch. Hopefully the editing made it a little bit less awkward, because holy shit, if you go click on it, I'm not joking, like they just stare at each other for like 10 seconds in between sentences.
Even at the end, that clip, it was like she didn't say anything. I was like, is it paused?
No, it's not. That's like the whole podcast. I want you to actually go and watch like the original version, because like, yeah, it is very, very raw, I'll say. But anyway, the update we all did not know we were going to get on Ned Fulmer's cheating scandal. Wow.
I don't know if I ever expected to ever hear from either of them again.
Definitely didn't. But anyway, we love the internet.
Indeed.
My For You page has been very Vine-coded lately. It's like the most random shit that would have killed it on Vine. Mine is going to be quite random.
Yours?
Yes, of course.
Weird.
Okay, so it says late night finds, but it's one of the skits me and my sisters used to make. Trigger warning, tragic ending. Did you ever make like home videos like when you were super young?
Of course.
Like skit wise or like just like recording your life, like vlogging style?
Actually both, but they weren't like funny videos usually. They were like trying to do like ones. Me and my friend would make like horror movies.
Oh, we've done that too, but like funny horror movies.
Same, but I don't think they were necessarily supposed to be funny.
Right, but this reminds me of kind of like the vibe of what I used to do, and the fact that she found this, I'm like, what a gem.
Oh my gosh, where'd you get those clothes, the poopy marks? big talk for a rotten girl.
Fucking disaster.
Oh my god. My favorite thing about watching like videos of kids, like ourselves included, is like you are just so unaware of your body.
Completely.
And how, why like, everything just looks so awkward. Like, you weren't in this scene.
Oh my god, I'm so dead though. The comments the were like, you're sleeping on big talk for a rotten girl.
The poopy mark.
That was pretty good. Pretty good.
Oh wow. No, that was... Yeah, no, I love that she uploaded that too. I don't have a lot of options because I've been just not functioning as a person. Here we go.
She said, let me see your teeth.
Yes.
Ah.
The fact that he does.
That is literally, like, that's me when I'm asking Nassim if my teeth are purple from drinking wine. I'm like... Do I look all right? So, oh, cute. So cute. Well, anyway, guys, if you made it to the end, we appreciate you very much. But that is all we've got, so we'll be going now. As always, we hope you have a wonderful week, and we will definitely see you on Friday.
I'm sorry. Bye. Again. Bye. Cheers.